The PSNI are today announcing details of a new campaign against so-called punishment attacks by paramilitaries. The initiative was revealed by the Chief Constable Matt Baggett on this show back in April. Police have been facing heavy criticism for a 4% clearance rate for these attacks, these shootings and beatings that leave victims maimed. Here's what the Chief Constable told the Nolan Show.
There is going to be a major initiative against the paramilitaries who still use this obscenity as a way of actually imposing their own power and will on their own communities. People are telling us more and more about the people that are doing this. We never had that trust before. We'll be launching an initiative, which I want to discuss with the policing board first, but it'll be right on the front foot. There'll be a new hotline, there'll be a review of all the cases, we're going to be talking to community groups. So the initiative won't simply be about reviewing cases. It'll be a major, major community push, standing together to tackle these people.
But that's the community bringing information to you.
That's
so
right.
That's the onus on the community. What do you promise to give back?
We have invested £250 million, which we got directly from government, in better intelligence, better technology to deal with paramilitaries.
Let's get under the skin of this morning and understand how the police are going to tackle the people who do this. The Assistant Chief Constable Drew Harris is the PSNI's Crime Operations Chief. Morning to you, Drew.
Good morning.
Good morning. What are you going to do?
Well, there's a lot of activity already underway. Today we've launched a Facebook advert particularly directed towards young people appealing for information. But that's going to be backed up now in each of the districts by police officers going out, and this is an appeal for information. Now, the purpose of this is that we can start actually to target the perpetrators of these attacks. Now, what we've done over the last 7 months, we've reviewed all of the investigations into these attacks that have happened. And from that, there have been a number of charges, but really, we know that this is a particularly tough nut to crack, with difficulty in terms of getting evidence in respect of specific attacks. But we do have good knowledge about who's involved, who the perpetrators are, and really what we're doing is applying an organised crime gang type approach to this. We've used this very successfully, and we're going to apply it here in terms of these groups' criminality and all of their criminality, because the criminality extends far beyond just being involved in these attacks and shootings, and then focus down on these individuals in order to prevent further attacks happening.
So you say you have good knowledge as to how these who these people are. How have you that good knowledge?
Well, information has come in from the public, and obviously we do gather intelligence as well. And so with a focus on that, we want to be proactive.
So you know who it is, but you can't arrest them?
Well, the issue is one of evidence and sufficient evidence to bring a charge. We've reviewed the investigations, and that has been able to bring some charges, but not as many as we'd have hoped. So this is an alternative approach, and it's a particularly good police tactic in terms of taking on this type of organised crime criminality. Can I just say that their criminality extends beyond these attacks? They're involved in armed robberies, involved even in murder, but also their activity in drug dealing. They do sanction drug dealing, or they get involved in the extortion of drug dealers.
So Assistant Chief Constable, call this for what it is. This is paramilitaries doing this, right?
Well, yes, it is, yes, and it's a form of gangsterism. It's a form of imposing fear and control. There's no moral crusade in this. They're not administering any form of justice. They're not filling any form of police investigation.
So you've good knowledge as to who it is. It's paramilitaries doing it. It's illegal in this country to be part of a paramilitary organisation. You know, the Chief Constable announces a couple of months ago that he's really going to tackle this seriously. And I'm looking to hear from you today, Drew, something new. Something which is going to make us feel in Northern Ireland, do you know what? My goodness, the paramilitaries and the gangsters are going to be on the run. And so far what I've heard, with all due respect over the last couple of minutes, is that you're going to appeal for more information. You've got a Facebook page which a 10-year-old child can put up.
Well, Facebook page is only just the one tactic. What is different about this, what we're taking forward, the term to take forward, is this proactive approach to these individuals. And when I talk about their criminal lifestyle, I mean actually the consequences of being involved in such extreme violence. There are consequences. These individuals cannot, therefore, be in a position of trust. They cannot hold positions such as taxi drivers or door supervisors. They cannot actually be entrusted with the care of children or vulnerable adults.
So what do you mean? What route are you going to go down there?
Well, what I'm saying is that there are consequences of being an individual who perpetrates such extreme violence. Like, this is the most serious form of criminality, and therefore you cannot be in a position of trust in our society. And we have licensing regulations in terms of people who have a trusted place in our society. And one form of that is obviously taxi drivers. Another form is door supervisors, but also individuals then who work with youth groups. All of these apply to the people who are actually conducting these attacks.
So you're saying to them that they will lose their livelihood as a result of this new campaign you're focusing on them. But it brings us back to stage one. Well, if you can't nail them, if you can't bring evidence to a court, you're not going to be able to take their livelihood away from them.
Well, that's why we need the information, which actually gives us the case to take this forward. This doesn't just depend on convictions. We want to actually get to a point of people putting people before the courts on criminal charges. So this just isn't actually taking away their livelihood. This is actually bringing them before the courts for the full extent of their criminal activity, which does include all their various serious crimes, as I've said, including armed robbery and indeed even murder.
Are you hinting there, when you talk about, look, that these people wouldn't be able to be doormen again, would lose their taxi licence, are you suggesting to me that if you can't gather enough evidence in order to bring them to a court, that you might be able to nail them some other way? You might be able to say, OK, we can't do them for that, but they're unsuitable to hold a PSV licence.
Well, what I'm saying is that it is entirely a legitimate police law enforcement tactic to focus in on these individuals and actually put pressure on them in terms of a criminal justice response in the very widest sense, in order to prevent these attacks,
but how,
to bring them to justice.
But how would you do that practically? You see,
I don't want to set out the detail of how we'll do that practically. It can be done, and it will actually be done. But I don't want to actually put out on the radio waves the precise detail of how we're going to do that.
Yeah, but to take someone's livelihood away from them, you need a threshold of evidence, the same threshold that you would need to bring them to court. I'm confused.
Well, that's not actually entirely correct. We can actually form an opinion based on information that we have on an individual's suitability. And that's well established in terms of people working with those who are vulnerable in society or in a position of trust. That's really well established. And people who engage in such violence then, and we know engage in such violence, cannot be in any sort of position of trust.
So it's clear what you're saying then. And look, many people might support it. It's the Al Capone approach, isn't it?
I'm not suggesting this is a brilliant innovation. This is a tried and tested tactic. And we have looked across England and Wales, and particularly the up-to-date tactics that are being applied there to organised crime groups. And we've taken a lot of best practice also from across the Atlantic around these groups, and actually focusing in on their lifestyle, on their employment and on their livelihood, and bringing pressure to bear. Because in the end, this is a terrible scourge in our society, and it's all about them. It's all about their position in the areas that they live. It's about holding those areas in fear. And therefore, we as a police service have to step forward and will step forward to protect society from them.
There's already people phoning us here saying, unless you have a criminal conviction, you can't go out and decide whose livelihood you're going to take away.
Well, that's not correct.
That's an awful lot of power then to the police. All of a sudden, the police don't have to go through proper process.
Well, all of a sudden, the police don't have to go through a court where there's an independent judge. Well, it is a proper process and subject to...
Well, who decides?
It's subject to challenge and can be appealed...
Who decides?
..through the courts, but it can be appealed through the courts. It is a process which in the end will involve the courts.
But who decides? Who decides whether someone loses their livelihood? Is a taxi driver, a doorman, or indeed, you know, youth services or whatever? Who decides?
Well, these are all. This is a full array of licensing authorities who are responsible here, and it's our responsibility as a police service to provide them the relevant information. It's completely wrong that somebody should be in a position of trust when they engage in such vicious violence, and therefore there is the route to deal with this.
What do you mean by position of trust?
Well, the position of trust, i.e. people are vulnerable when they go out at night and maybe take and maybe are under influence of drink. So why should they be in any sort of, why should they be in a position of trust in respect of people who are vulnerable when they engage in such extreme violence themselves? And why should they be in a position of trust in respect of children or vulnerable people? It's just not on.
So the whole thread...
This is an entirely legitimate way of tackling this group.
Well,
only one way. It's only one tactic which is being applied.
But do you know what, Drew? There will be, again, many people will support you.
Yeah.
There will be others, though, who will be saying this morning, hold on a minute, is this the same police officer and police force who constantly talk about due process, who constantly talk about it being their role to bring people before the courts, before the courts?
Well, this is...
There's wriggle room here for the police to become the judge and jury on an individual.
It's not wriggle room. It's our duty to protect society. And this is one avenue by which we will protect society. It's only one avenue, Stephen. It's all part of a wider set of tactics which we will apply to these groups. But the thing is, we're talking today about these groups engaged in... paramilitary assaults and shootings.
Yep.
We do apply these tactics already. You know, these tactics are applied to others who have engaged in violence as well, or who have engaged in serious criminality. We apply these tactics to organised crime groups constantly.
How much manpower are you diverting to this particular initiative?
Well, already we have put considerable resources to this.
Well, it hasn't
worked so far. Priority. Well, it's pointless actually to put a figure to it, because it's a priority in the districts, and it's also a priority in my own department within crime operations.
It's always been a priority.
Well, it has raised more and more as it's become more prevalent, and public concern has been raised in respect of it. Public concern, which has been raised through the policing board.
There are less attacks now than there ever were.
Well, attacks have diminished, but one attack is too many. It has a corrosive influence on our society, and that's why we're determined to prevent attacks happening going forward.
Drew, how much manpower are you diverting to this?
Well, I'm not going to put an actual figure on that.
Because it's so low?
No, it's not so low. It's a priority.
Have you diverted more officers to this?
Well, in effect, there's more time being spent on this. As I've already said, we've reviewed all the cases. We've set a standard in terms of the investigation. We've put intelligence resources to this as well, and we are applying previously successful tactics to these groups.
Here's what I don't understand. Help me with this. Some of these communities, very, very tight-knit, and the intelligence gathering process will need you to be part then of that process, okay? And there have often been occasions when someone comes on the radio and they say that, you know, they knew that an individual, that an 18 or 19-year-old had been told to appear at the entry at 9 o'clock later that night. Are there any cases in Northern Ireland where we can say, look at how the intelligence really worked there? The police were waiting for them. The police were even one case where you lot have actually been able to be on the scene and nail these guys who are doing this.
Yes, there has been, yes. And actually, those cases have been successfully prosecuted through the courts. But there is no charge which relates to paramilitary assaults or shootings. What happens, it's possession of offensive weapons or possession of firearms. And we have brought charges related to the attempt to conduct a paramilitary-style assault or shooting on an individual. So we have been successful like that. And if information comes in, we will act upon it. There's no doubt about that.
What's your target?
Well, there's two prongs to this. There's obviously the reactive investigation after something's happened. The clearance rate for that is 4%. As I've already said, that's particularly tough nut to crack.
It's abysmal.
There's a whole lot of things which are difficult about these investigations. Often we don't have a scene, we don't have witness evidence, and indeed sometimes as a pre-arrangement, the victims can be very drunk and they're very poor recollection of the event, or are not or do not wish to cooperate at all with the investigation.
Yeah, but
those are the investigative difficulties that we have there. But the second prong is the proactive investigation, dependent upon the information coming forward from the public.
So you've done a really good job there, Assistant Chief Constable, when I asked what's your target.
Well, the target is actually
your response. If I was not this game a little while, I would have said, "Well, thanks very much. We know the target now." You have set yourself zero target, right?
The target is one of prevention, and prevention is actually a better target than detection. And prevention actually by bringing enforcement action to bear on these groups. So the target is actually around reducing the incidence of these attacks.
The clearance rate, Assistant Chief Constable, is totally unacceptable to this community. It is 4%. Have you set yourselves a target?
No, we will increase that, but I'm not setting a target in respect of that. I would point out, in respect of major crime investigation, that we do very well, but it depends on evidence. And the difficulties with these investigations is the lack of evidence. So often we don't have a scene and we don't have actually witness evidence. And so without those two, without a forensic or witness evidence approach to this, it proves very difficult to bring detections. But we acknowledge that.
Okay.
We have set a standard in terms of the forensic and witness processes in respect to these investigations. But secondly then, second prong of this is the proactive.
Okay, and final question, Drew.
Yes.
And thank you for coming on today. These attacks, are they sanctioned at the very top of these paramilitary organisations? Is there command and control of these attacks? How structured and organised are they?
Well, I think it'd be wrong to think that there is a particular structure or command control in respect of them. They are around fear in the community. They're around their own petty feuds and fallouts in an area, and it's all about control. It's not about justice. It's not about filling a void. It's not about the criminal justice system. It's all about themselves and, in fact, a gangster-like lifestyle going forward.
Okay. Drew, thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you this morning.